The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know, Mrs. Palmore is amazing. I was talking with her earlier about how God is using her. She writes a lot. She didn't write that one, but she writes a lot of songs. And to me, that's just amazing. You know, every year we have theme songs for our youth conference in particular. And her mom used to do most of the writing to that. Last couple of years, she has done the writing of those theme songs. And is that right? And has done just a tremendous job on that. And I appreciate her very much. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 13. I announced this morning, I always announce normally on Sunday morning what I will be preaching on Sunday night. And I learned that from a preacher many years ago. And he said the reason to do that is, number one, that way people can pray for you intelligently. And I thought, that's good. That's a pretty good reason all by itself to announce what you're going to preach on Sunday night. That way people can pray for you intelligently. And that is great. He said, but number two, it allows people the information they need to invite people to come to church. Other words, you can say, boy, you ought to come tonight. Preacher is preaching on. You ought to come tonight because preacher's preaching on. You ought to be there tonight because it's a life-changing message on, and allows you the information to be able to share with someone else along life's pathway to get them to come to church. And so that's the two reasons I do that. This morning, I announced I'd be preaching a message tonight on destiny decisions. Destiny decisions. And let's look now. Genesis chapter 13. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. And if you'll look, let me just kind of give you a bird's eye view in chapter 13 in verse 6. The Bible says that their substance was great, and so that they could not dwell together. This, of course, is the story or the record of Abraham and his nephew Lot. And of course, God blessed them marvelously, and it was so great that they could not continue to dwell together. The Bible says in verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And it says, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, it said, dwell then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, now watch what it says, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. And so Abraham is saying, look, there doesn't need to be this. There absolutely doesn't need to be this. There doesn't need to be strife between your employees, your workers, your herdsmen, and mine. There's no reason for that whatsoever. But then he gives a decision, if you will. Look in verse 9. The Bible says, is not the whole land before thee? He says, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take, it says, take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And so Abraham is telling his nephew Lot, look, you can go anywhere you want to. Go anywhere you want to, and I'll just go the other place. I said this morning because Abraham knew this, that God is not in the blessing of the place. God is in the blessing of the person who walks in obedience to him according to the scriptures. So Abraham had no fear that no matter where he went, God would bless because of his relationship with the Creator God. And by the way, so should be our relationship with God. Our relationship with God ought to be so close that there's not a fear of going to the left or a fear of going to the right, because we know our relationship with Christ is what it ought to be, to the point and to the place that God will withhold no blessing. Let's pray one more time together. Father, bless, we pray, our gathering tonight. We love church. What a wonderful blessing it is to gather with your people. Now, God, speak to our hearts, we pray, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will. And as we talk about destiny decisions, as we see here in chapter 13 in verse 6, that their substance, their herds were so great, they decided to separate. This was back in the days when the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they filled the land, and yet there was strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of that which is his uncle. And God was blessing both of them. Now, I believe this. I believe that probably God was blessing the household of Lot to a greater degree because of the relationship that Abraham had with his God, and the blessings just overpoured. Can I tell you that many times God will bless your house because you're living for God, or because maybe a mom and her dad is living for God. And so God is blessing your household. You say, well, I'll tell you what, why is God blessing my house? It might be because maybe your mom has surrendered to the Lord. It might be because your dad has surrendered to the Lord. It might be because you, living in a household where neither mom or dad attend church, God is blessing the house because you're there. Don't forget the story of Joseph. Everywhere that Joseph went, whether it was in the prison, whether it was outside of the prison, of course, finally underneath that which is the ruling power of Pharaoh, please don't forget, God blessed him everywhere he went. It wasn't because he was of the seed of so-and-so. It was simply because God chose to bless him because of his personal relationship with God himself. And so Abraham knew this. Abraham knew that there had to be a division. There's no sense continuing to fight, continuing to squirrel, continuing. You can always tell when I preach in a church, you can always tell if there's trouble brewing in the church. You really can. You can tell the spirit is not just right. You can tell that maybe there's a brother or sister that's not getting along with each other. You can tell that, you know, there's just not that liberty that you find in Christ because there's a stoppage there for some reason. And by the way, can I tell you, the reason that Achan's whole family was judged was because of Achan's disappointment, yea, his disillusionment with the truth and his disobedience to his God. Now, can I tell you, it is important tonight that we all get on board in serving Christ. And the way that happens is we make individual decisions. Lot is faced with a decision. What he could have done is he could have said, no, Abraham, uncle, I just want to stay with you. Let me go in there and kind of make sure that my herdsmen straighten up and you work with yours. I mean, there could have been many, many different solutions. But apparently there wasn't one, so there had to be a separation. And Abraham knew that. So he said, you choose whichever way you want to go. Enough is enough. Enough fighting. And so here, you choose where you want to go, and now I'll just go the other direction. Now, don't forget, Abraham is not looking at the well-watered plains. He's not looking at the situation of, I'm going to go over there because it looks better. You ever hear about the church hopper? Hopping from one church to another church because they say, well, the grass always looks greener on the other side. No, can I tell you something? Sinners are sinners saved by grace. And that's what's in churches. There's nobody in here better than anybody else. There's nobody in here that is esteemed more higher than somebody else. We're all sinners saved by grace. We've come together to fulfill that which is the will of God in our individual lives and the will of God for our local church. Now, understand this. Here is, however, a young man that decides to make a decision. His decision is not a wise decision. His decision is to remove himself from a situation whereby there is blessing, whereby there is protection, whereby God is dwelling in the place, if you would please, in dealing with Abraham, and there is no place like that place, but he decides that he is going to step out and do whatever he wants to do. Now, young people, let me just throw you a warning. Can I do it? It is very dangerous when you decide that you're going to leave the household of your mom and dad just because you don't like the rules and you're going to move someplace else to get out from underneath the protection that God has for you. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I don't like the rules, so I'm leaving. Where are you going to go? Join the military. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9, the Bible says, he says, it's not the whole land before thee. So he says to Lot, hey, you can go wherever you want to go. He says, if you choose to separate yourself and go to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you choose to separate yourself and you go to the right, I'll go to the left. He said, it doesn't really matter. Now, can I tell you, it did not matter where he was going to go, but it did matter the decision that he's about to make. And the decision that he is about to make, and yea, the decision that he did make, was a tragedy. Let's notice exactly why it was a tragedy. Let me give you some statements tonight. Statement number one, Lot looked towards Sodom. Lot looked towards Sodom. By the way, that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. You start to look outside and you say, well, so-and-so's got it better than I. I wish I had their parents. If I had their parents, then I would not be harnessed with this trouble or with this problem. It's always the Christian school fault. It's always the Bible college fault. It's always mom and dad's fault. And nobody wants to take blame because it truly is their fault. And so Lot looked toward Sodom. Look, if you will, Genesis chapter 13, and look at verse 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. Now, what is he looking at? He says that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, even as the garden of the Lord. He said, this reminds me of the Garden of Eden. Even as the garden of the Lord. It's that well taken. It's that plush. It is that nice. The Bible says, like the land of Egypt as thou comest to Zoar. And so he said, I'm looking. And by the way, that's where most of us get into trouble. You go looking for a brand new car when you can't afford the payments. You go looking at other people's wives instead of working out your own problems in your own marriage. You start trying to find another Bible college that has less rules. When you show up there, you're going to find out they have the same rules. You look for a better job and you quit the job that you got before you find the better job. Can I tell you, look, Lot looked toward Sodom. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, and Lot chose, it says, him. It says, all the plain of Jordan. And Lot, it says, journeyed east. And they separated themselves one from the other. And so we understand this. The first place that he got into trouble as he looked. Well, I wish I had different parents. I wish I had a different husband. I wish I had a different wife. I wish I had a different friend. I wish I had a different car. I wish I had a different number in my bank account. I wish I had a bank account. I wish that I had nice shoes. I wish that I had shoes. I wish that I had a nice dress. I wish that I had a nice suit. I wish that, no. Some comparing themselves among themselves, beloved, is not wise. So understand tonight, when you start to compare yourself, well, I wish I could sing like so-and-so. Well, when we all get to heaven, we will. But until then, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You come to church tonight, somebody has sat in your pew. Hey, thank God that somebody's here to sit in your pew. Don't get upset when somebody sits in your pew. Don't get upset when somebody sings that song. Don't get upset when all of a sudden the offering plate comes by you. Don't get upset when all of, and by the way, listen to me tonight. It's that look that gets us in the trouble. Don't look in the wrong place, and you'll probably not wind up in the wrong place. But if you keep looking in the wrong place, can I tell you, that's probably where you're going to pull your horse up and be able to water in the trough. Here's what we understand, that Lot looked towards Sodom. Then you see this, that Lot leaned towards Sodom. Look at it, Genesis chapter 13, verse 12. The Bible says, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. The Bible says, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Now watch it very carefully. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So here he is, and can you imagine, he has the opening of the tent. And we have a men and boys camp out every year, and we go, and last year it was miserable. I mean, it was absolutely miserable. I mean, we knew the weather was going to be bad. We knew it, but we said, hey, we're going to rough it. Amen. I mean, after all, we're men. And I don't know, I guess there's about 30 or 40 of us, and we got out there, we're men, man. We're going to rough it. And we got out there, and there came a storm. I mean, blowing rain. I mean, tents filled with water that you could swim inside of. I mean, you know, and here we are, we're men, and we're huddled up underneath these pavilions, and man, the wind is blowing that rain and beating upon our backs, and we're getting soaked, and but we're still men, and so we say, how you doing? Oh, I'm having fun. Some are getting sick and going home. Preacher, it was great. I won't see you for 2 weeks. I'm dying, but it was great. Now, can I tell you, Lot leaned towards Sodom. And he opened the lip of his tent towards that. Now, by the way, you listen to me. You know what your temptations are. You know what your struggles are. You know the greatest problems that you're having in your life. And if that is true, you don't go to a bar to drink milk. You have to understand tonight that you are the one that opens yourself up for being wounded. You're the one that opens yourself up for being addicted to something. You're the one. Hey, come on. Hey, when you walk into the room and your teenager all of a sudden shuts the lid of the computer, your antennas ought to go up. Something's wrong. If you go to grab your teenager's cell phone and say, let me read your text that you've texted over the past couple of days, and they say, no, that's none of your business. That's my business. Something's wrong. Hey, let me go a step farther. If you grab your husband's cell phone and you say, I want to see what you've been texting, Bubba, and he doesn't want you to see his text, or he doesn't want you to see, if he has a smartphone, what he's been viewing on the internet, something is wrong. We ought to live a life that's above reproach. We ought to live a life that anybody could look in circumspectly and see that everything is okay. Now, can I tell you that he leaned towards Sodom? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13, but the men of Sodom, the Bible says, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And can I tell you, that testimony did not start the day that Lot showed up. Everybody knew about these cities. I mean, we know that in Louisiana, there's a city that's called New Orleans. What are they known for? Mardi Gras. See, the testimony's already there. We know there's a city that's called Las Vegas. What is it known for? It's known for casinos. It's known for gambling. The testimony's already there. I mean, he had no business looking that way, and he had no business getting comfortable, putting the stakes down so that every night he could look, he could see the lights of the city, he could be able to be tempted by the lights of the city. Dr. Tom Malone, many years ago, he lived with his grandfather on the farm. And he was a young man, and he said, I've always wanted to visit the city. Always wanted to visit the city. And so he said, Grandpa, would it be okay if I visit the city? He said, Tom, you can visit the city anytime you want to after we get done working. They got up early that morning. They went over to collect all the eggs from the chickens that had laid the eggs prior. Then it went from there to the milk cows, and they hand-milked the cows. And then it was time to do some barn work, and they went in for breakfast, and after breakfast, back into the barn doing barn work. After that, went out to the field, started working in the field, came in for lunch, and after that, went back out to the fields and started working and kept working until 5 o'clock, then went back into the barn and worked after supper until about 9 o'clock that night. And so finally, Granddad looked at Tom Malone, that is, looked at Tom and said, now, Tom, do you still want to go to the city? He said, I'm too tired. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you use your energy to fulfill the desires of your flesh, you're going to get into trouble. Why don't you fill your life with goodness, fill your life with Jesus Christ, fill your life with righteousness? Hey, instead of putting your nose in a dirty magazine, why don't you pass out a gospel tract? Why don't you decide to put yourself in the right place? Instead of gossiping and talking and being negative, why don't you decide to turn the positive on? And why don't you decide to talk about Jesus Christ and let him be your subject matter? Look, I'm saying tonight that Lot looked towards Sodom. Then you'll see that he leaned towards Sodom. First, he gives it the look, the distant look. Wow, the well-watered plains. Hey, that's where I want to abide. That's where I'm going to go. That's where I'll be taken care of. Then he gets on the well-watered plains, and he opens the lip of his tent, and it faces Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was known as a wicked city. It was known as a sinful city. It was known as a perverted city. And now, all of a sudden, he's looking at it. The lights come on at night. The music is played loud, the dancing and all the things that are taking place, and before you know it, he desires to go down there and to be with them. And who you run with is who you will become like. I've seen people say, well, I would never drink, but then they start drinking the social drinks, and before you know it, they turn into a drunk. I've seen people say, well, I tell you what, it can't hurt me, but it does. It does. Well, I can smoke just a little bit. You're still going to get cancer. You're still going to die. I'm saying this tonight, that Lot looked toward Sodom. He leaned toward Sodom. Statement number three, he lived in Sodom. He lived in Sodom. So not only did he look and not only did he lean, he moved there. He moved there. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live my life. What about living a life that's above reproach? What about putting Jesus Christ first? Well, nobody knows. God does. And if God does, isn't that enough? Why not live a way that you can be proud to say, no matter what time of the day somebody sees me, I represent Jesus Christ, and I represent Jesus Christ well. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with selling out to Jesus Christ? What's wrong with being excited about Jesus Christ? What's wrong with putting Jesus Christ first in your life? You say, well, not many people do it. Okay, then you start. Somebody's got to do it. I'm saying tonight that Lot lived in Sodom. Look at it in verse 12 of chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. The Bible says Abram's brother's son, the nephew, of course, of Abraham, who dwelt in Sodom. It says, and his goods and departed. Of course, you know the story, don't you? You know that there was a time when he was there in Sodom. You know that two angels that came in, and by the way, anytime you read about angels in the Bible, it's all the male gender. Male gender. So if a boy tells you, wow, honey, you look like an angel to me, what he's saying is you look like a man. Don't take that as a compliment, please. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so the Bible says that he dwelt in Sodom. The Bible says, and his goods, and it says, departed. So here are these angels of the Lord. They come in, and isn't it neat? Because as soon as they appeared, you see that Lot is in the gate. By the way, in the gate meant that he had become somebody renowned in the city. That's where the fathers of the city would sit. So he was accepted by the city, but yet he was being in the city, and being in the city, he covered himself up pretty well. He's sort of like a hidden Christian. So how do you know that? Well, 2 Peter tells us that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, and delivered just Lot, says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. See, he'd been dwelling there so long, he picked up their conversation. You hang around somebody that's a liar all the time, you're probably going to pick up some lying habits. You hang around somebody, kids, you listen to me, that's caught up in the rock music society and rebellion and stuff like that. Can I tell you, probably you're going to get caught up in stuff like that? Yes, sir. Yeah. The Bible says in verse 8, the Bible says, for the righteousness of man dwelleth, listen to it now, for it says that righteous man, for that righteous man, 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, says seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. You know what that is? That's a conviction on the inside, Brother Crutcher. I mean, he knew it was wrong. It vexed him. It hurt him on the inside. He knew it was wrong. You know, I've seen Christians that, I've been on airplanes before. I fly a lot, been on airplanes before, and I'll witness to somebody that says, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I love the witness to them before they take off, because I said, this is my end statement. I said, I'm glad you're sitting beside me. And they'll say, well, I'm glad to see you too. Who are you? And I said, well, I'm Pastor Wells, Parkside Baptist Church, right outside Dallas, and I'm glad you're sitting beside me because I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. Let me ask you something. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Oh, yes, I know that. Oh, good. And I begin to talk to them, make sure I investigate, I interrogate, if you will, make sure that they understand it's Christ and Christ alone. Talking to them about, is there, if I wanted to go to heaven, I was your friend, what would you tell me I need to do? And I'll start asking them penetrating questions to define or to find out if they're really believers. And I've had people give a clear gospel testimony. Then all of a sudden, these little stewardess come down the aisle. Wine, wine, wine. You want red or you want white? Wine, wine, wine. Especially on the international flights, they push that stuff. That's because they don't want you to feel the bumps as they're going through. You'll feel bumps later. And boy, they push that stuff. And I was witnessing this one guy. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. He gave a clear gospel presentation of how he got saved. Then all of a sudden, he said, I like red. I said, whoa. What do you mean red? He said, well, I like the red. I said, I thought you said you were a believer. If you're a believer, you shouldn't be guzzling that stuff. Right. Oh, he said, I'm not going to guzzle it. I'm going to sip it. I said, then you're sipping wrong. He said, I can tell right now I sat beside the wrong person. I said, well, you leave if you want to. I need the elbow space. But while you're sitting beside me, why don't you behave? You're a testimony for Christ. What in the world are you doing, man? You say, what did he do? He didn't drink it. So you shouldn't have made him feel bad like that. Well, somebody should have. I'm so sorry, but we live in such a passive society. You know, why don't you be right out of church just like you pretend to be right in church? Man, we got kids that's watching junk, and then they're advertising that they watch the junk. You know, it's got cursing in it, it's got nudity in it, it's got all sorts of vulgarity in it. Come on! Hey, if you're going to be right all the way. I'm saying this. I'm saying that Lot looked, he leaned, watch this, and now he winds up living there. It doesn't take much. But as he's living there, his soul is vexed. The Bible says, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He knew it wasn't right. Now, by the way, you don't have to be unkind. You don't, I mean, when this guy sat beside, he just shocked me. So what came out, came out. But you don't have to be unkind about it. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it is important for us to understand tonight, you choose where you live. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 in verse 1 that there was two angels, it says, to Sodom, the Bible says, at Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And the Bible says, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself, it says, bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So he knew what righteousness was. Isn't it amazing how we go on vacation? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how we go on vacation and you can step into what you call a fundamental, independent Baptist church and it's different? I mean, it's almost like they've got broads that are dancing on the platform. Now, by the way, church ought not be that way. Oh, you say, preacher. Man, you know, I mean, after all, you think everybody ought to be like we are here? Uh-huh. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying he looked, he leaned, he lived. You ready? Then he lost his testimony. See, where you live, people eventually will see. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, and Lot went out and he spake, it says, unto his sons-in-laws, it says, which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Listen to what it says. But it seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-laws. See, his lifestyle was not matching up with his lip service. He was living one way in front of those that were in the gates, and yet he was saying to his son-in-laws, hey, we better get out of here. God's going to judge this place. We better move from here. Come on, fellas, you married my daughters. Let's go. Let's get out of here. And they laughed at him. They mocked him. Because you see, that's not the way that he was living. And inside of his heart, man, he was vexed. And by the way, you know the sweet Holy Spirit of God. You know how it is. You know how it is. You know all of a sudden when you get off track and you start to go the wrong direction, that all of a sudden there's that feeling down inside, this isn't right. I know this isn't right. And it's not because Preacher May was your preacher before and he preached something and well, that was just his opinion. No. Preacher May's been gone a long time. But the Holy Ghost don't go. No, it's not that Brother Wells, boy, Brother Wells has just got this strong opinion about this. Well, Brother Wells is not riding in the back seat of your car when you're doing that foolish activity. Might it be that the Holy Ghost is talking to you? Might it be that the Holy Ghost is caring enough about you to show you that that is wrong? Come on. You say, well, I didn't feel that way before I started coming to this church, you know, and the church has got high standards, and I just did not feel that way before I started coming to this church. Isn't it amazing what truth does? Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. See, that's why you feel bad, because you've been given much, now you've got the knowledge to know what is right and know what is wrong, and so when you start doing wrong, you feel bad about it. And by the way, you left this church or don't leave this church, the truth is always going to be with you now. You are contaminated. You are contaminated with the truth. I said this often. I said, there's no way you can leave this church, go to a Southern Baptist church and feel comfortable. There's no way. You know why? You know too much. You just know too much. You got too much of the truth that's been planted inside of your soul to go to a place like that. You know, if you went to a Southern Baptist church, for most of you, you'd feel like you're going to a bar. You'd feel that bad. Because you know you won't fit. Well, come on, somebody say amen. If I'm going to dig myself in, you dig me out. Now watch this, if you will. And so he looked, he leaned, he lived, he lost his testimony. Not even his sons-in-laws believed in him. I mean, his sons-in-laws said, yeah, come on. Do you know what you're talking about? Come on. They didn't believe in it because he spoke this way, but he lived this way. All right, you ready? I'm done. Here it is, okay? In Sodom, not only did he look, he leaned, he lived, he lost his testimony, but you see, he learned the wrong things. See, that's why we love our children enough to say, that's wrong, this is right, walk ye therein. Because we don't want you to learn the wrong things. Come on. All of a sudden, movie comes on, rock music pops up. Man, either mute it, change it, or get rid of it, but do something besides just sit there and listen to it. Come on. I told Josh we were traveling, and I said, now, son, we're staying in the same hotel room, and I said, I've got a rule when I travel by myself or with someone else, which is all the time. You can't go anyplace because if I travel by myself, I'm there, right? Okay, and I said, my rule is that when I'm in a hotel room, TV doesn't come on. They didn't bring me here and fly me in at expense so I could sit in a hotel room and watch filth and then get up and preach Bible. When I'm in a hotel room, it's me and God, and it's just working and praying, and that's what we did this week, and God used that. Now, by the way, listen to me. I'm saying he lost his testimony. Then he learned wrong things while in Sodom. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 30, the Bible says, and Lot went out of Zoar, and he dwelt in the mountain, his two daughters with him, and he feared, the Bible says, to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave. Can you imagine being that afraid that you got to run secludedly and hide yourself from all humanity in a cave? The Bible, and by the way, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Living in Sodom all those years, I feel bad. I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be. And you know how it is when people start getting into sin. You know how it is. Well, I hope that nobody finds out. And they sneak around at night. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So they sneak around at night. Man, I hope nobody sees me. Hope nobody sees me. Hope I don't get caught. And I hope nobody catches me. Boy, if somebody saw me here, it could really ruin my prestige, my testimony. I hope nobody sees me. And they sneak around. Then all of a sudden now, boom, the lights come on. What happens when the lights come on? The roaches all run. Wicked flee when no man pursueth. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Bible says this, Genesis chapter 19, verse 30. The Bible says, and Lot went up out of Zoar, by the way, dwelt in the mountain, had his two daughters with him. He dwelt there in the cave. The Bible says he and his daughter. He learned some wrong things. He learned some wrong things. Then those things that he learned caused his own daughters to lose their purity because things that daddy was putting in their minds. Now, listen. Why don't we just decide that we're going to look right, lean right, live right, not lose the testimony, and learn the right things? Last statement, here it is. Then he left everything he had in Sodom. He's getting out quick. Left it all. Left his possessions. Left his riches. He went with everything, and he left with nothing. Sort of like the prodigal son. He left with everything and he came back with nothing. He lost his possessions. He lost his position. In Sodom, he had grown in fame and fortune. Lost it. Lost his people. Lost his family. You know, they say that during the writing of the New Testament, you could still see the pillar of salt that was Lot's wife. Can you imagine? Being somebody that lived during the penning of the New Testament, walking past that pillar of salt and said, yep, there she is. There she is. There she is right there. That's her. That's her. Can you imagine that? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have to be very careful not to leave things that are right. Don't leave the family. Don't leave the wife. Don't leave the husband, the children, the grandchildren. He left behind everything in Sodom. Now, would it be good if you and I decide to make destiny decisions? Destiny decisions. Okay, as I often do, Brother Crutcher, stand with your Bible. Illustration, I'm done. Here it is. I'm going to draw it. Here it is. And so I'm going to go towards that which is righteousness, holiness. And by the way, the devil doesn't want you to do that. He lays snare for you, as you see in Proverbs. He tries to snare you. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to defeat you. I've said to my family, I'm going to tell you this. The devil's after dad. If he can't get dad, he's going to go after mom. If he can't get mom, he's going to go after the older sibling. Can't get the older sibling, going after the second oldest. Can't get the second oldest, going to go after the third oldest. Can't get the third oldest, it's going to go after the youngest. But he's going to try and get somebody in the family. He's going to try to destroy somebody in the family. Now, he'll do that in many ways. He'll discourage. He'll get you off track. I've warned my family. I said, you be careful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't put your eyes on people. People will always let you down. Don't put your eyes on people. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get yourself some spiritual goals. Keep him at the head of your ship. You know, if somebody tries to get you down, ignore them and keep serving Jesus Christ. All right, wait a minute. So here we are. And so we know the right direction to go. We know that, boy, if I stayed with, we're going to say father or Uncle Abraham, me little nephew. If I stayed with old Abraham, just old Abraham. If I just stayed with old Abraham, old Abe had it. Man, he just had it. Just old Abe had it. Old Abe, he had it. So if I just stay with old Abe, everything could be okay. So Abe says this to young Lot. He says, look, choose whatever land you want to. Just choose it. Man, you can have it. It's yours. We just got to separate. They're causing strife. So I look over here. And I'm saying, boy, it's well watered over there. That's where I'm going to go. So I get over here and put your Bible away, Brother Craig, and stand up. And so and Brother Craig, look cool for me. And so here, Brother, look cool. Look cool. Pull it down. And okay, there you go. Cool guy. All right, here he is. That's it. Got it. Okay. All right. So here I am. I'm down here with Uncle Abe. And I look over there, and man, there's coolness right there. There's coolness. That's called coolness without hair, amen? Amazing, you can be drawn. And by the way, they're similar, have you noticed? It's just that, okay. He says, I'm glad you're flying to Florida tomorrow. And so here I am. And so I'm looking at that, and this is all flashy. Come on. And by the way, isn't that the way the world is? World is always flashy. You know, I mean, they got the cool walk. They got the cool look. Come on, let's go chill out together. And that's a 60-year-old talking. Okay, here we go. And so I've got the well-watered plains over here. Well-watered plains, okay? And so I'm looking. I put my tent up. And I could have faced that tent any direction I wanted to. I could have faced it any direction. Come on. I don't have to watch the dirty movie. I'd face my tent any way I want to. I'm in control of me. I don't have to get in the car and turn on rock music. I'm in control of me. And so here I am. And so I decide I don't want to be godly. I don't want to be righteous. I don't want to obey you, God. I mean, after all, who do you think you are to tell me what you want me to do? Well, he's God. That's good enough. That's right. And here Abraham's saying, you know, hey, if you got to go this way. Go. It doesn't matter to me. He said, but we're going to have to split. It's just not working. And so they split up. I noticed the well-watered plains. I noticed Sodom. Sodom is down there, and there's dancing going on. Okay, he's got thumbs up. And so I notice all this there. And so I'm drawn to that. And by the way, they always make it look good. They do. They make it look exciting. Come on. You don't go to the mall and hear Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What do you hear? Bum, bum, doo, bum, ba, doo, ba, 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 well-watered plains, okay? And so here I go. I'm heading this direction. Now watch me, if you will, okay? When you open your lip, when you open your sight, when you place it towards Solomon, you will be drawn that way. You will. Some of you never used to say slang words. Now that's all you ever say. Why? You hung around somebody that was saying them, thought it was acceptable, now you do it. Come on. You went to somebody's house and they watched the bad movie, so now you went out and bought it because, after all, they're a Sunday school teacher. And you think it's okay. So what'd you do? I mean, you're starting to dwell there. And after what, can I tell you, this is the way it happens. Preachers, it's not true. This is the way it happens. You get so used to it that you just decide, well, it's normal. And that's why our churches are filled full of undedicated Christians. We have got more world in the church sometimes than we have outside of the church because it's polluted the houses of God. And so I decide, well, you know, everybody's doing it, but what about the Lord Jesus? What about pleasing Him? What about living a life that's dedicated to Him? You're not supposed to do it because everybody else does it. Most of the world's going to die and go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that you should have done that. All right, so here I am. I'm over here. For you know, you make friends. Who you run with, who you associate with, you make friends. For you know it, the friends begin to influence you. Before you know it, you see nothing wrong with it, but inside of you, you're vexed. Inside, you can't get away from that. Amen. See, the righteous soul of Lot, no matter where he stationed his body, he knew what was right. He knew the direction to go. Inside, he's bothered. By the way, that's a good indication that you're saved. And so inside he's bothered. All of a sudden two angels come. When the two angels come, Lot says, hey, look, you need to come in tonight because there's wickedness in the street. They said, no, we don't want to do it. He said, no, I'm telling you, you need to come in. I'll feed you. Okay. I'll feed you. Immediately when he said, I'll feed you, they said, okay. So they went in, you know, and you can always lead a man through his stomach. Don't forget, angels, male stature. Okay, so brought him in. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Lot steps out. Here's all these men, young and old, in the city. They come out at night to do their evil dwellings at night on the street. Lot knew that. That's why he got the men to come in. He knew that. So he said, so he goes out, shuts the door behind him, kind of embarrassed. They said, hey, we come because we want to get to know those men like Adam knew Eve in the garden. And so it's wrong type of knowing. Then all of a sudden Lot says, well, I tell you what, look, no, I don't want you to touch these men, but I got two daughters. See how his thinking is all messed up? I got two daughters, you can have them. If you want them, you can have them. Come on. Then all of a sudden the angels pull Lot back in. Angels, two angels, pull Lot back in. They step outside, zap these guys, they go blind. Okay? So the guys are feeling around. Hey, you guys are terrible. So the guys out there are feeling around. Then they instruct Lot. They say, look, you need to leave. We're going to burn this place to the ground. Lot goes over and starts to beg his two sons-in-laws. He goes over and starts to beg his two sons-in-laws. He said, man, he said, God said, two angels came to my house. Two angels at night to my house. God said, he's going to burn this place to the ground. Now get your wives, get my grandkids, and we're out of here. They begin to laugh at him. I didn't say act like you're drunk, just laugh. All right, wait. So here's what takes place. He leaves, takes his wife. She turns back. Why? She was used to seeing a husband turn back all the time. She was used to seeing a compromising husband that lived one way one time, another way another time, one way another time, turns Jesus on this time, turns Jesus off this time, close to God this time, not close to God this time. I mean, just like this. So she was used to seeing all the turn back, so it wasn't nothing to her. So she just turned back and God zapped her a pillar of salt. Neat for the cows to lick on. Come on. Thank you. It all started because of a wrong look. Now, I love you. I do. I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. But you can start taking wrong steps just by looking wrong, and it'll wind up destroying everything that's good and right and holy and decent. It'll ruin you. I want you to take the challenge tonight. Give your life to Christ. Start looking in the right direction. Somebody comes up to you and say, oh man, I tell you what, if I only had him, but yet him is not faithful to church. Him doesn't love Jesus. Him never goes to an altar. Can I tell you, forget him. Well, if I only had her, she is just so beautiful. She just, oh, if I could have her, my life would be fulfilled. Your fulfillment should be in Jesus Christ. And because it's not, that's why you're chasing all the hers all over the globe. Let God bring somebody in your life. Isn't he capable? I'm saying this tonight. Destiny decisions. When you make decisions, it lays out your destiny. Don't make wrong decisions.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.